So we keep seeing Elon Musk talking about how there can be a universal basic income, where humans will not do anything, and the government will just pay them a monthly to just buy for their provisions, groceries, recreation and whatnot. So it's kind of like what happens in the Wall-E movie.
Now, Elon Musk basically is trying to play God, and you know, he gives a lot of false hope. He just follows basic rules, God rules. You know, I say we die, I know where we can go. So like, you know, how God says we can go to heaven, he says we can go to Mars. And he says we are near to our extinction. Like God says, you know, judgment day is upon you all. Elon Musk is literally trying to play God and, you know, talking about, you know, something universal basic income is, you know, say we are all one. The more we talk about Elon Musk, I think more of hatred comes into my
No, and this is as a resultant of how AI can entirely take over your jobs, like literally take over your jobs. And there's a scenario where you actually have some skills.
Okay.
For example, let's say I have a skill called copywriting. So I can write for someone and I can charge by the word, I can charge by the hour. And there's a company called Jasper.ai, which is like $600 for a month, which is around 45,000 rupees in INR. And if you get that, you get 3 lakh words every month. So, and it produces original content, like factory churning out content. And we spoke about the digital artists being destroyed by NVIDIA Canvas, and there's a company called Midjourney, there's a company founded by Elon Musk called OpenAI, which is an open source artificial intelligence called DALL-E 2, and they already have a second version, second edition of that. So like we have started to see how creative works can be automized, and I'm sure there are like a lot of software that is being developed to automate coding, development process and everything. And that is why he mentions that it is a universal basic income, because it's not him trying to say I'm going to tell you this is going to happen or I'm going to give you, provide you the income, but a fact that this is also a potential future that we have to have in mind, because we are not never sure. Like the government can entirely say like AI progress should entirely be shut. We should not use AI altogether. But do you think when you are at a point where you have a lot of skills, but anything that you do will be 100 times lesser than of a robot doing it, would you feel embarrassed, insulted, or like how Will Smith feels in the movie? Like he literally says a carpenter builds a chair, and this robot comes in and says like fuck you, I'll build a better one, something like that. So do you think a scenario like that will happen in the near future?
Any tech revolution, you know, whenever it, any revolution in terms of technology, whenever it has happened, it destroys a lot of things before, you know, it can occur. So when we take industrial revolution, we had to destroy a lot of forests. We had to, you know, when the steam revolution came, we had to, when railroads were laid. So we had to destroy a lot of things so that we can create something much better. And, you know, just look, think of AI or artificial intelligence as a train. Just compare both of them together. People were traveling in, let's take India before the British came, people were traveling on driven carts, animal driven carts. And they were not able to go, you know, much, you know, long distance or anything. But once this train and railroad came into India, people were able to travel, people are able to travel. And I don't think any of the cart drivers felt insulted. They should have only walked. Maybe they would have felt bad that they might lose their job or they are losing the job. But till today in India, there are cart pulled vehicles. So I don't think there is no need to, you know, be threatened by technology, you know, feeling lost. Say, you know, I'm going to lose my job, what is going to happen? Because, you know, you said something is doing copywriting, something is doing designing. Does not mean that we are going to lose. The thing is, how we can make it do much better, how we can make it do things the way, at the end of the day, how we want it. So, you know, it, you says it's going to give you so much of content. So, you know, content that pleases more audience. So, I think we are, it cannot stop human beings from growing or, you know, losing jobs. It is just the fear inside the head of people in fear, basically.
Right. Like, there is a very good quote by Michael Crichton in the movie Jurassic Park, who is the author of the book. He will say, if you try to control nature, nature will always find a way. So that is the ending sentence of that story.
Mm.
So that part where the dinosaurs, they escape the park and they start running towards another island.
So, you know, we are talking about AI and now you're talking about genetic engineering. Okay. So both of these are the revolution of our time, you know.
The biggest ones.
The biggest revolution. And I hope both of these align together and grow simultaneously together.
Right.
Both biology and
technology.
Information technology, technology has to grow simultaneously, not merge and grow simultaneously together. Or else we are going to see
things one-sided.
Things like Terminator movies, like Terminator.
Right. Right.
But you know, a beautiful future is where we are all cyborgs. Where
right, like I was about to ask that question.
Cyborgs are, I always imagine, okay, why, you know, why not be a cyborg? It's much better. You, rather than fearing AI, you have AI, rather than, you know, feeling emotionless, feeling senseless. I think the next transition would be going through cyborgs. I think it is happening.
It is already there. Like I can give you a very good example. It's not in the form of a cyborgism basically, but people who don't have legs have started to have, I think the word is titanium.
Titanium made, is a metal. Mm.
Yeah, they have, the amputees have titanium made legs, which will be much stronger than what your foot actually is. So we spoke that time lastly that like when amputees try to run in races, they are not allowed to run with races natural. With humans. So I started to think, like, what if a police who is going into a job can have a chest full of titanium built case?
Robocop,
basically, yeah. So, and he'll be, he can go into war and he can dodge bullets. Basically.
No, again, if this is going to happen, I think this is how it is going to happen. Maybe just 1% of the population will start becoming cyborgs. You know, now it is about money or land or power. I think then it is going to become who has control over technology, maximum technology. I think the 1% who has the infrastructure and who has currently the money and the data and all the research work will be the initial forerunners into this technology.
Right.
And the remaining 99% will always, you know, have to that's how
stay in the background. Yeah. So and I wanted to say this because like I told, nature will always find a way, because there will always be a way for somebody to exist basically. So maybe humans will find a way to exist in different types of jobs. Maybe we don't have the necessary data inputs to comprehend a future where something like that can happen, because we would have never thought of a reality where like we used to see in books and things where people could video call, people could do this, people could do that. But people used to think it was fiction, but right now things are happening. But what if an entire change and shift of this technological development went, and we, what if there was a World War III and this never happened, we never ended up seeing it? Because in 2015 to 16, we started having internet so powerful in India. Like now we know like a lot of things exist. This is the first time we get to know these things exist in India in a large scale. We started gaming, like PUBG becomes so popular in India because of the advent of Jio. But what if World War III had come in 2022 and this, all this would have been changed? So I sometimes feel a World War III was imminent, because there was tweets about World War III going to start. And every single progress that we have had so far and all the advancement we have with AI can be destroyed with one nuke in the US or one nuke in some country that has all the AI powered dominance inside the country. So that can also be a possibility where we again have to start from scratch and we have none of the data that we have stored for all this. Because like if you think of YouTube as an example, I remember in the movie WALL-E, when this guy asks for what is dance, and this software plays all the dances that we did in India or in the world basically, and he used to be amazed that, oh, these are the videos that talk about dance. But think of what you search for in YouTube as a dance. Like everything is, like we have Bollywood, we have Hollywood, and there's so much data. And if all of this data is deleted, only the documented things become the data of the AI, we are again back to, you know, base zero. So do you think a dystopian future is also possible?
Basically, we tend to forget. Human beings tend to forget in whatever it is. Generation after generation, we have we forget a lot of things. You know, we have data on...
Is it learning and unlearning?
It's not about learning and unlearning. Forget. It is forgetting. We forget. We just forget. When it comes to... just take a small example. Let's take farming. Farming was, you know, something that was taught throughout human race for generations across for its sustenance. But currently farming, I don't think many of us know farming. We just forget, you know, but we see it, but we forget. Data, you know, the data kind of data that we are talking right now is the digital data that you said. But data has a lot of forms. You know, data comes through sculptures, data comes through books. There are different forms of data. And erasing data is going to be very hard in the future, because in the past, long past, we have had languages developing. So, you know, there were just sign languages. Languages did not have a lot of words, you know, expressing, you know, what the kind of things that we are expressing now could not have been expressed with the limited amount of words that were available or that were there, or the emotions that they knew. But currently now, most of us know the language. Mm-hmm. So starting from zero is not going to happen again. We are always going to start from, you know, we are not going to go entirely down
ground
the
zero,
ladder.
Yeah.
Ground ladder. We will start from somewhere in the mid. Maybe we might lose infrastructure, but we are not going to start from zero.
Right. And I want to talk about, like, we went into movies, and I want to talk about this specific movie called iRobot. So I'm a very big fan of the movie, and I was fascinated by it. But I never thought something like that could happen in real time. But there is one scene in this movie where I associated with you, where this person does not want to go autonomous on a vehicle. So people will say, do not use this steering wheel, and he will use the steering wheel. And he says, like, I don't want to trust a robot on this. I want to do it myself. And I thought, like, will there be a future where a self-driving car was possible? But right now, Audi, BMW, Tesla, Benz, every single cars have autonomous driving, and Tesla literally has completed 70,000 crore kilometers of self-driving, autonomous driving, and there's like so many data inputs for them to keep growing. And do you think a future where people will start thinking, okay, I don't want this to be done by a robot, and I wanted to do it myself. I don't care about the productivity. I want to have a purpose for myself. So will there be a fight or a revolution for purpose?
So, you know, how it will be is, you know, being driven in a car by a chauffeur will be a bigger experience, and people will pay more money for that. People will be ready to pay more money for that, because, you know, if everything is going to be self-driven, it comes to the poor and comes to the cheap. And, you know, having a chauffeur and having a car that has a steering becomes a luxury, and only the elite people will have it, and it becomes a lifestyle. Yeah. Basically, like how right now we are having the concept of organic food, homemade food, you know, so let there be any number of restaurants or whatever it is, homegrown food. These are the concepts that are, you know, we have so much of agricultural outburst. We have, you know, mass production. even in so in this situation, the most valued food is that is organic, that is homegrown, that is, you know, terrace grown. So it will, whatever happens, the value that some thing has will only increase. It is not going to come down unless and until we forget it.
Right.
But you know, logistics, food, these are all our basic needs, so we are not going to forget it.
Right. Like we talked in 2019, I guess, in one of the episodes where we were talking about OTT, I think you mentioned specifically where I asked you a question where I said, like, do you think theaters will go extinct? And you said, I think OTT releases will be there, but there will be releases
in theaters
also post a certain point. But right now it's kind of like that, like theater releases are still there.
Theaters will evolve. I remember what I said, you know, theaters must start, you know, becoming spaces to accompany people on 10s to 20s, you know, give them a movie experience.
Like
know,
small with, theaters, yeah.
With food, with more luxury. And if that comes, you know, you cannot provide that in your home. Your OTT will not be sufficient. You cannot design your...
It's not a celebration anymore. It's just a...
It just becomes a movie. But you can make the theater a celebration. You can make it a social life, you know. 20 of us, you know, from a company going and watching a movie. That becomes a theater experience.
Right.
Rather than a movie experience, it becomes a theater experience.
Right. So I have a very, very interesting topic on a company by Elon Musk. I feel bad because I'm keeping on bringing on Elon Musk into this thing, but he's been involved in a lot of artificial intelligence because that is the main topic of this video. There's this company called Neuralink, you might know, and they recently tried a chip inside a monkey's head. So what they did was they put the monkey inside a chamber. So they gave it artificial hands. So every time the monkey thinks, this artificial hands should put the food in this mouth, the hands started working. So it's just a basic level of way where they are trying to use the brain's signals to act through the muscles. And they have done it in a monkey and they have done it in a pig. So sometimes we take very big pride in knowing things because we take a lot of time to learn things. We take a lot of efforts in experiencing all those stuff. And then when we know that, we kind of feel a gratification that I've come a long way because I've learned all these things, right? So tomorrow, Neuralink starts a program where it gives a chip and it's just like if I implant this into your head, you become a super brain master intellectual. Would you take it? Why?
That's being cyborg, basically. That is being called yourself a cyborg. You have AI implanted inside you. You can do anything. But, you know, we are human beings and we are capitalistic human beings. We will start selling knowledge, you know, like how we sell, you know.
Like if you want to take a course in physics, you can buy it, right?
Yes, everything will be made into chips.
So basically what I'm understanding from this is, it's a pay-to-win game, basically. It's pay to win still today,
till
right?
In the end, it is going to be supply and demand. Because I've been, you know, watching history, learning history, trying to understand history and the present and the future. Whatever I see, we are still following the same structure. We have never collapsed. We have never and ever collapsed in the structure that we have been following. Maybe the names change, you know, from feudalism, imperialism, capitalism, coming, whatever is the ism. There is always heads, big heads, small heads, medium heads, no heads. This is how it has always been. And the no heads are the people who are in the maximum number. They do not fight back unless and until, you know, they are pushed.
Their survival is pushed.
Yes. So it is still happening today and it will happen forever. Until the race, human beings, as Homo sapiens, we exist, it is not going to go.
Right. This again brings me to a very good question. Right. So, there is this car by BMW, right? So, this car has all the features. So, one of the key features in a country like Canada is, like, you want heated seats. Right. So, it's very cold in the country and if you have a heated seat, it has to be there. So people bought this car because it has heated seats. Now BMW recently launched a package, which is a subscription, which allows you to turn on the heater only if you pay a monthly price.
Super.
Right? So, like I can take this, you know, Neuralink as an example, where if I want to be a physics superstar, I have to pay them a monthly fee to be a physics superstar, right?
To retain your knowledge.
Yeah. So it's basically not commoditizing everything, because you have to still keep paying for your lifetime if you want to be that. And think of a factor where you pay one month and you understand physics like you are the god, and the next month you miss your subscription and you are a dumb person, and everybody around you, like, I can relate a lot of it to what people do it with Apple phones. Like, this person has the latest phone, I don't have the latest phone. So this software, it's like a SaaS model for humans, and it fascinates me, because like we have come to a point where we were once selling Windows OS on CDs and VCRs, and right now we can sell an entire knowledge repository.
There's a scene in the movie Matrix where they are on the top of on the rooftop. Mm-hmm. There is a helicopter, and the heroine asks, like, you know, the hero asks the heroine, like, you know, how do we leave this place? And she points at the helicopter, and he asks, like, do you know to ride it? And he says, like, 2 minutes. And then they talk back to the people in the Matrix, and then they just load the code for, you know, she blinks, and then like she becomes a chopper driver. And it is possible. It mm-hmm. is very much possible. What do you say? And we are going to make money out of it. And you know, everything else will become sustainable. You know, as the amount of automation that we are seeing, food will become sustainable. Energy will become sustainable. Water will become sustainable. Except for knowledge, everything will be sustainable. So, you know, right. All these universal basic income and all these things would not be necessary. But for you to be relevant with mm-hmm. other human beings or with other social entity, you need to have a certain kind of intelligence into it. So that will be monetized, and that will, you know, that is what you'll all be have to, you know, as you said, it might get into a SaaS or you one-time purchase, or, you know, people like you and me, we try to build an AI that teaches physics to us all the time.
No, there is this episode in Dexter's Laboratory where he tries to learn French for exam. He keeps playing this over and over again, and all he can say in the next day is omelette du fromage, and which is like omelette, some cheese toast omelette or something like that. So I don't want something to happen to people where the AI fucks up and people keep saying the same thing over, and like, because we see WhatsApp going down for a single day, we see Google going service, you know, affecting a single day. And what if we are all connected to a same company and this company's server goes down and everything, I recently was talking to someone, and I was talking to them about a movie, and I was arguing with him saying like this movie was released in 2009, and he says like, no, this movie was released in 2007, and we keep fighting back, and the only thing that made us come to a conclusion was like, we searched when was the movie released. So, and we rely so much on the phone, and we rely so much on the data that is available on the internet, that right now, when it becomes our brain, like this, it's again a matter of instant where you get the information right here and you know whether you're right or wrong. So, and I think it gives a very big opportunity for us to, create new things, because right now you'll be able to make parameters from, oh, this is what's happening here. Okay, I can do this from here. Right now you had to actually put in work. So, but here you can have all the repository of data that you are available with on the planet Earth, and then you can come up with your
thinking
idea.
Will become doing.
Exactly. And you have to have a strategized plan of what to think. So thinking can happen, because right now I see interns coming to our office and I say like, do you know designing? No, I don't know that. Go learn it. Where do I go learn it? Google it. So people still don't know how to Google. So, and I was talking to Praddy, my brother, and he said like, how are you a good developer? And he said like, I Google stuff. That is how I'm a good developer. So it's again a matter of you knowing how to do certain stuff. So I don't think anything can be instantly given to you as a commodity. and you have to still work for it even if when you have everything in front of you.
I think it is the characteristic of every individual, you know.
No, what my question is, will the characteristic or a personality trait be changed when you are given a surplus of data into you?
Again, like, you know, the need, you know, everybody has surplus of data right now, you know, as you said, you know, Praddy has data and the intern has data, but what we do with that data is that personality is going
the inference to, of the data is there.
Are you going to use the data?
Right.
So that is when the personality is going to work. So if you are a curious person and want to do something, you will surely do it. And if you are a person who does not, you know, care about anything, or, you know, you want to be in your own safe space, you are going to be there, even if you are going to have anything in abundance.
Right.
Whatever it is, if you are going to have it in abundance and you don't use it, some people use it, some people don't use it. So it is the personality and the character. It cannot be defined by the amount of data that is. Even if it is going to be implanted inside my head, I can just simply sit and, you know, say, I'm going to meditate. I'm not going to think anything.
Right. So one other thing that I didn't have this perspective before. People talk about living forever, and like, I want to stay young forever. So there are 2 to 3 different arguments when you tell, like, I want to live forever, or I want to live young forever. So what they said was, you stay 25 for the next 1,000 years. Okay. So you have a mother, you have a father, you have a wife, you have a daughter, you have a brother, whatnot, right? Everybody else dies in 50 years. And you are the only one there. And any other person, every other person who is going to start life will not know you, and they will not have an emotional bonding with you. Will you be able to stay alive like that forever? That was the first question. Two, if you were to be alive for 1,000 years, right, but you kept aging, and right from your 120th year to your 1,000th year, you just had to stay in bed, would you still be alive?
Like, you know, I think I'm not the right person to ask that question, you know, because...
No, I'm just saying, like, I'm just asking your perspective.
I'm not a person who fears the... You know, if you're going to ask this question to a person who fears death, I think, you know, you might get answers. But, you know, there are people who accept death and believe that it is sole purpose of any living being is to die. So... I would surely not, you know, if the biological cycle, if the natural cycle is some number, I think it is better always to get yourself
I always think that number. I have to die early, because, like, we've had all the fun that we had, like, 50 years, 55 years. Like, anything more than that is just preposterous. And why I put this question forth is, when AI becomes so dominant in medicine industry, right? Like, the human average life expectancy is supposed to be going up, right? So right now it's around 63, I guess, 63 or 61, I guess.
Okay.
And let's say this medical system gets so exactly precise in finding any fault that you can have inside your head, it can cure instantly. And right now it's basically like a BMW car. Like, anything happens, it's sent to the BMW company and they can just send a code here and they can fix it. And if you are doing something like that, your natural mechanism or metabolism is to keep you alive till 100, 110. And if you are going to exceed that, but you're not going to be able to do anything because, like, still mercy killing is not legal in India. I wonder, like, what people will do. Like, will there be enough resources to keep them active, to keep them alive? You know, like, isn't that a contradiction of me or us going against the nature? Do you think so?
Yeah, we are part of nature. So, you know, when we say we are going against nature, I don't think we can do anything against nature or for nature. Whatever we do is nature. We're making plastic is nature. Global warming is nature. Human population outburst is nature. Human beings are basically nature, so we cannot go anything against nature. So if we find a way to live for infinite years or 110 years or healthy or unhealthy, it is part of nature, and we cannot go against nature.
I'm just pondering upon these questions because it's like very, very, I think this is the first time where we are like so much thinking about future as a whole population, because we are constantly seeing what is coming. Because like I remember in 2011 when I had my first phone, I never thought this phone was going to get any bigger. And yesterday I'm looking at a phone review, and this person says this is a 6.7 inch phone and it is not as big as you think. I had a phone that was 3.5 inches. And right now 6.7 inches is like very normalized and people think it's a normal screen. And we have technology by Samsung which is giving us folding phones. This display itself is being folded, and you can have a TV that is like entirely rolled up into a single sheet, and you can just roll it up and you can do that. And there is like endless possibilities of things that is happening. So, and AI coming into a part where they can be a part of any single, any everything, because like an OpenAI as a project that we spoke is an open source project. Like anybody can use that AI to any use, which is actually good and bad at the same time, because anybody can do anything with it. So it's very a double-edged sword kind of thing, where whether we have to be fearing of this thing or whether
it
we
is
have
it is again like I think let's get back to our train example. When the train started, people were scared that they might get killed if they stood in front of the track. You know, they were supposed to get killed if they stood in front
we
of
still,
the track.
We still do.
And it is still. But now we know we should not stand in front of the train.
Right.
And, you know.
So we become.
We learn we from our mistakes. Skills. So we learn from our mistakes. If we have to survive, if according to the origin of species, if we are the fittest, and if we at least want to be the fittest, we will somehow find a way to survive through this. We have survived. I do not know, like, you know, some books that I read say human beings are some of the youngest species that are in the planet right now. So, as of the time from
are
life,
we the youngest or some of the youngest?
The youngest, one of the youngest.
What evolved after that? Like, do dogs have a younger portion than us?
Younger?
Younger, like, are dogs younger than us? Like, you said,
no,
like,
younger
one of
as
the,
I'm
one
saying, the timeline of the entire Earth, the timeline from when the first life originated on Earth, we are somewhere.
No, I'm, what my question is like, there are species that evolved after us.
Yeah, there are species that are even currently evolving.
No, like they just originated after us.
After us, yes.
Okay. And we have
every day there are new species evolving. Every day there are species getting extinct. So but human being, you know, we think human beings are
very old
and very everything we have been. But when we are going to consider the timeline of, you know, if we're going to consider the clock, say 60 minutes, human being is birth and till now would not even be more than a minute.
Right.
Not even be more than a minute from the first. So basically us becoming extinct is not a big deal for the planet per se. And,
I want to point out a point that you said, like you said that plastic is nature. So there is a very good quote by George Collin where he says like, we are never going to save the planet. Planet can save itself because it has gone through worse shit than humans, because it has gone through storms, sun storms, you know, asteroid hits and whatnot. It has survived all this, and you have the audacity to say that some plastic that is out of the earth is going to kill it. We are not going to be saving it.
Correct.
It is going to just wipe us out as a pest, and it is going to integrate plastic as a new consortium, and it will take 100 million years again, and it will form an entire new space and he will keep saying like everything that you, he also says the same thing, nature will always find a way. And we just think like we are so self-important and we are so, you know, we are so big than the nature that we are trying to save the snails or save the tigers. We
save
take
the rivers,
save
the soils.
That is the current government.
I can you know, forgive everything what Mr. Sadhguru did, but you know, saving the soil is something I cannot forgive him of.
No, that is the only word that they have with S&S. So saving the soil is the only thing that they can do. Because they had Rally for Rivers. So we already had the fact that...
Oh, R&R,
R&R, S&S. Okay. So they will find words like that.
Save the soil. I do not know how a person can save
the soil. Next time they can have protect the pannies or whatever. they'll find two different letters and they can go with it. Yeah. So
basically it is the ego that is in the head of the human that says, I am the best, or I am God. I know God. God is like me, is what is making humans think like this, that they can save the earth. Humans must start thinking like we have to save humans. I think that is the right way of thinking. And if we start thinking that, you know, humans must save humans, you know, even I think there's this movie Rise of Planet of Apes where it says chimps stay with chimps, you know, monkeys stay with monkeys. Humans till today do not have the capability to think
together.
Humans saving humans. Everything that we learn says us to compete, you know, become first, beat others, beat the competition, buy the competition, you know, discriminate, you know, push the unequal people. But it never says form a community, ask for help. These are questions that, you know, people should start thinking, you know. I am recently seeing a lot of posts where saying only you can save you. I have no idea how I can save me. I cannot save me. If, you know, I think no individual can save a particular individual, you know. It needs a lot of things around, a lot of people around. Only then it is possible, because only you are nothing. Only you can save you is the worst thing we can start sharing to people. It is going to make us hyper alienated, not think beyond a single individualistic thought. It is going to make us the least productive species that can, you know, be a part of the society. Ants, you know, they think as a community they have survived so long. Bees, they think as a community they survive so long. Amoeba, whatever microorganism you see, they think as a community. Once they start growing, each of the cell walls that is connected is going to communicate with the other cell. But human beings, I'm going to only talk to myself. And
I'm going to quote another stand-up comedian here. It's a quote by Bill Burr.
Okay.
He said, every single person who has walked on the planet Earth, who has said, love each other, form communities, have been assassinated.
Yeah, true.
So he says, we don't even know how to save ourselves. Are we so fucking important that we are going to save the planet? Like, are you fucking kidding me? That is the entire point. And it's very true, because like Nelson Mandela, Gandhi said, like, be together, save people, killed. Nelson Mandela was also shot dead, right? And he says, like all the people who have ever told, like, as a community, we should be together, have been killed. So, and it's just a fun way of looking at it.
No, not all communities are killed, okay? Like, you know, communities where the, you know, India is a community, Tamil Nadu is a community. Well, the leaders are not skilled, because the leaders know how to, you know, make the system work as the system itself. People are still scared to break this system and say, we are all one. It is very hard for them to say, no, we spoke about this universal basic income. When we say universal basic income, how is it going to be distributed across the globe? Is it going to be given in the right, you know, everybody, every individual is going to receive the same amount of money, or the individual is going to be paid based on the GDP that the country is having?
Right. So it's very difficult to measure.
Also. It is so. Only if we are able to break all these, you know, man-made illusions through money, through caste, through religion, through language, through countries, through borders and anything. You know, all these things are man-made illusions. Basically, you know, layers of, you know, stories that we have told ourselves, you know, from our history books, from our geography books, political books, is what has gone into our artificial intelligence. Our artificial intelligence is ready to accept that this is real. But we have the opportunity to rework on this artificial intelligence, at least from our next generation. We still have, you know, I think people are continuously doing, because that is one reason why I am talking like that. I have seen many people, you know, having the same ideology. So it is coming into, you know, spreading across slowly. It will spread. And one day, like every idea, I think, you know, people can die, but ideas can't die. So this idea will also might be the reason for the survival of the human race in the future.
Right. And I think we have come to a loop where you actually brought artificial intelligence into the conversation, because we drove so much into the conversation. And yeah, with that being said, I think we spoke a lot.
I think we spoke nothing about artificial intelligence.
Yeah, we spoke something about artificial intelligence, because I had written five different AIs. And we spoke of how not just AI is going to be the future. There is going to be
multiple options
for the people.
Yeah, that is how, you know, we are being brainwashed. Clearly brainwashed, saying this is the path that you have to follow. This, you know, this is the right track. This is where the big giants are going. This is your big companies doing. This is your Fortune 500 doing. Only if you do this, you're going to be a part of the system. And only if you do this, you're getting paid more also.
Right.
So
in order to keep you away from the reality, they put money this side so that all the good stuff in life is other way. And people unfortunately see the money. And yeah. And I think it's a whole different conversation if you talk about money.
Money, so, we got to talk about
money. Yeah, we have to talk about money. So, yeah, with this, I think we can close this episode. Thank you so much. You spoke a lot about artificial intelligence. Let's see. Well, let's rewatch this episode in 5 years. Definitely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.